You're listening to Indie Bay Radio in San Francisco. That's a CD that we got from Wally from Louisiana, and we thank him for that. If you've got music that you'd like to see played on Indie Bay Radio or, you know, the Radio Indie Media Network, feel free to get to our site, indiebay.org, and just you'll find the mailing address right there. On the phone with us, though, we have Joe Chamberlain. Welcome, Joe. And, you know, so this is post-election. You came in very strong last night, I understand.
Yes, that's right. I actually was running for the San Mateo Board of Supervisors, and it was a primary election with the person who get 50% plus one winning or a runoff. And there were three of us in the race, and I received about 25% of the vote, and one of the other candidates received about 22% of the vote, and the Democratic incumbent received 51 or 52%. So we're about 2,000 votes from missing out on a runoff, which is good news and bad news. It would have been a very difficult runoff with an incumbent Democrat. The bad news is we don't have a runoff for a Board of Supervisors seat in San Mateo County. So onward and upward, as they say.
Well, and there are a lot of environmental issues, development issues, economic issues from post.com that are still hard hitting the whole region.
You know, we didn't get hit so much in the, on the peninsula from the dot-com. What hit us was the a lot of the engineering jobs going offshore. And this is something that's not talked about much. But, for example, my husband's employer employs about 40 engineers in China that would normally have been employed here in Silicon Valley. And they do that because it's less expensive to employ engineers in China. So it wasn't the dot-com that hit us here on the peninsula so much as it was the outsourcing or the going offshore for not just assembly-level manufacturing jobs, but also technical jobs went offshore.
Yeah, that's also another ugly issue of this. I mean, certainly good to get market share throughout the world, and you educate the world, and you're going to get that market share. But my God, what a cost there is. You leave people high and dry after they've attempted to buy a house with the dot-com earnings, and then all of a sudden, 5 years into the 30-year mortgage, the financial end drops out.
It's true. It's true. And it's particularly frustrating when we realize that it was the Democratic Party that had set in motion the destruction of the middle class in our country.
Now tell us what's coming up for the rest of the year. You've got November coming up. What are some of the issues?
Just sort of wrap up from my campaign, and that is that I had terrific folks helping me on my campaign who did so as volunteers and used their own resources for transportation and their own phones for calling, and also they were financially very generous to me and made all the difference for me. And I'm very grateful to them for that, and looking forward to them joining me in my next adventure here, and that is I'm going to be helping Peter Camejo with his run for governor. And that campaign is going to be ramping up very quickly. We're hoping to get Peter, of course, in the debates again this year. As you'll recall, in the recall election, he was in the debates, and people were really, really impressed with Peter. And, many of us felt that he, of all the candidates on the stage in those debates, was the most professional and clearly spoke to the people in our environment in a realistic and educated way that we didn't experience from the other candidates.
Well, that's an understatement. I tell you, honest to God, I listened to talk radio around the nation, and there were people talking about him in every state in the nation during the original Gray Davis Arnold runoff. That special election when those debates, they were talking about it. He was on C-SPAN and nationwide C-SPAN, and they were talking about Peter far more than they were talking about Gray or Arnold. And so he's definitely got a nationwide reputation. He just needs to get a few more opportunities like that one.
Right. And everyone listening and you can help us, because one of the determiners that hosts for debates take into account is whether the people want to hear the candidate. So there'll probably be polling starting as early as mid-July on whether folks would like, who they would like to have included in the gubernatorial debates. So really relying on everyone to make sure you mention Peter Camejo, because it will make all the difference in our success at getting Peter in the debates and moving our progressive agenda forward.
Let's see, Peter Camejo. Let's see, I think Peter Camejo. What's that name again, Joe?
Peter Miguel Camejo.
Let's see. Now, by the way, if you're moving into that campaign, why don't you give some contact info for, well, it's coming up in November. My question before was, what's coming up in November? Peter's.
Yeah, so you can always, of course, visit Peter's website, which is votecamejo.com, and information about events, places where Peter will be speaking, opportunities to participate in the campaign, even if it's just to, you know, put a bumper sticker on your car or a yard sign in your yard or a win in your window, whatever you can do, wear a button. Everything we can do to increase the visibility of our candidate is going to make the number of votes we receive in November go up.
Yeah, I've still got, if you go to greens.org, you can find a website there, votecamejo.com. Is there also a second one, or is that going to be the primary one?
I believe that's going to be the primary one.
Okay, all right.
If there's a change, we'll make sure that it's linked to that one. So,
all right, so it's votecamejo.com.
Right.
And for South Bay, do you have still referendums, bond issues, things like that, that the Greens are endorsing for later in the year? What kind of issues do you
have? I don't know exactly what's going on in the South Bay as far as endorsing any upcoming initiatives.
Well, actually, you're the peninsula.
I can say there's a very interesting thing happening in Fremont every Friday night. And I didn't realize this, but there's a group of Minutemen have organized in Fremont, and they're trying to, deport people and just be, you know, pretty uncomfortable. So every Friday night at the corner of Fremont and Mowry, between 4:30 and 7, there's a counter anti-immigration demonstration, and that's been going on, I guess, for years. It started as a pro-war, anti-war protest on one side or the other of the street. And since the immigration issue came up, and of course that came up as soon as it was clear that the war in Iraq was lost, they of course needed, you know, let's switch the agenda. Let's find the weakest persons we can pick on. Who would that be? Of course, that's the people doing the, you know, the hardest work for the least amount of pay with the fewest resources, and that's our immigrant population. So it's really a pathetic thing. Makes you think of people as pretty much being bullies. But
the old master race.
That demonstration goes on every Friday night. So folks who are interested in getting involved there, that would be a great place to show up. I was there last Friday night, and we had about 200 anti-Minutemen people there, and there was continual chanting of, racists out of Fremont, bigots go home, and they finally just, there were only about 12 of them to our 200, and they finally just packed it in and left under police escort. So time, Friday night, that's the place to be.
The new person to hate this week, the old master race technique.
Yes, exactly. Find someone to blame other than us, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, I heard that probably the Democrat down in San Diego would have had a real nice chance if, apparently the Republican Party brought in 140 specialists from D.C. In the last week to work on the Republican who took over for Duke Cunningham down in San Diego. They brought in 140 paid specialists for the last week.
Oh,
So,
and this was to hold the office for the Republican Party.
That's right. Yeah. So it sounds like November. This guy's only got a term that'll last until November, and then he's up for re-election again, right? So,
right.
So sounds like they actually have a chance down there. Just keep their campaign staff together, and something real is going to happen. I wonder if Peter could get involved in leading a charge to get voters out, get out the vote drive down in San Diego way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know, the other race that we've been watching is the Pombo race in Contra Costa, Solano County, and that's a very strange congressional district. It's shaped like a fish hook.
Right, right.
And it covers, four counties and is only about 10 miles wide but a couple hundred miles long. I wonder why they drew it that way. Apparently Pombo did extremely well against our favorite son, Pete McCloskey, who's a well-known and highly respected former congressman from my county here in San Mateo. And I think Pombo just got overwhelming votes. I was amazed when I was watching the returns last night. So there's a Democrat now, and so, of course, it'll be down now to the Democrat-Republican. And I think there's a Libertarian, but there is no Green in that district, which is too bad. But we're really hopeful that resources can go in there also for the Democrat and take out, Pombo is just evil incarnate.
Right.
I can't imagine why anyone's voting for him.
Sure. I usually find, what was that old Nixon line, follow the money. If you just show how the Republicans are more expensive than they claim to be some experts at financial management, but they actually prove to be, what is it? They claim that the Democrats are tax and spend. In this case, the Republicans are borrow and spend. So it's obviously a worse situation. At least you're at least with tax and spend, you're paying for it along the way. Borrow and spend never gets paid off. So yeah, that's the like those payday loans. That's the way the Republicans are. So, it's pretty easy to talk about that kind of logic in any congressional district. It's frankly kind of interesting down in Southern California there, that other congressman, Jerry Lewis, it looks like he may get indicted. He's also.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Duncan Hunter is also probably indictable if anybody does any search of him. Frankly, even John Warner, the senator from Virginia, congressman that's in prison here. What am I thinking of his? I'm forgetting his name. Duke Cunningham. If Duke Cunningham is, what he was doing was laying out, he was the head of a committee that was able to select, bids, for military contractors. And so with his chairmanship, there's no way that if he got a fat bribe, he would have had to pass some of it along to get past the next layers because some of these were bad contracts. There was no logical way that they would have gotten past a committee relationship unless they had, greased the wheels ahead of them. So John Warner on the Senate side for Armed Services Committee, Duncan Hunter, both by proximity, and he was also on a military. I guess he's got the chairmanship for one of the military committees and Armed Services. And I'm trying to think. Jerry Lewis was apparently he's got. He's the one they're targeting right now, tied directly to contributions from these contractors. So, that is a real shame that we don't have some Greens running in each of those districts, because it's essentially, like I was saying, if the Republicans were forced to hire 140 people for one single district, if there were four districts, they don't have 600 people they can spare. And if
good
there's
point.
50 districts, and so it's actually a very, they don't have enough specialists to go around, and especially for some of the layers of corruption and what's at stake and this and that and the other. So, you know, there's a real opportunity here. And so, yeah, that said, each of those congressional districts have got some, there's a lot more opportunity than there is a chance at failure. You can just make them spend money out of the, you know, forever. And none of them, you know, they'd have to start dipping into the missing money from Iraq. You know, some of those serial numbers would start showing up, and that would be an ugly scene. So, yeah, I'm not sure familiar what I'm talking about, that there are pallet loads of cash from Iraq that were still wrapped up straight from the Treasury, delivered to Iraq to pass out to contractors. And the, you know, at minimum, $9 billion is missing. Other counts say well into the $35 billion. And these are pallet loads of pallet loads of fresh U.S. $100 bills and $1,000 bills and whatnot. And these serial numbers, if they got stolen, well, hypothetically, the Secret Service is looking for them, and nobody's mentioned whether or not they found them or not. So, in other words, if you create a very expensive campaign for the Republicans, they're going to have to start dipping into this stolen money and force these bills to start emerging, and that's going to create a new trail. Anyway, so good luck with the Camejo campaign. Give us the contact info again for that. And, sure. And what else?
The best way to get a hold of the campaign is to go to the website, which is votecamejo.com.
Okay, and let's see, do you have chapters formed already throughout the year? So if someone's in L.A. or, you know, you're in the peninsula, San Francisco chapters, this, that, and the other, people can get hooked up? And
absolutely, yes. There's a place to, say, you know, I want to volunteer or I want to donate, which is always good, too. And we'll make sure that we get you plugged in and active immediately.
What kind of do you have strong issues that you want to lean on right away?
For the Camejo campaign?
Sure, sure.
Well, of course, Peter's always pushing his fair taxes, which is absolutely right. And he has a new book, and it's about California under corporate rule. And it goes into how the corporations get such a free ride in California at the expense of the low-income and middle-class folks. So the rich folks and the corporations do not pay their fair share to the community. And he has charts and details, and it's a great book, and that is also available on the website and is a really good read. And Peter presented a talk at the ACLU in Los Angeles over the weekend and received several standing ovations, and this was probably a largely Democratic Party audience, but clearly the way Peter presents this information really speaks to everyone.
Well, that's right, and he, just like Nader, you know, he's got a kind of an invincible reputation where they'll frankly try to squeeze him out of the debates because he'll make the Repugnocrats look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously Peter really won last time. They squeezed him out of the debates just like they did Nader. Nader really won. Everybody, I mean, I could get neocons to say they'd vote for Nader, but the excuse is, oh, but he'll never win. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
The name of the game is not only to have, you know, somebody sitting in the sidelines in case the Republican decides to kill the Democrat, but also, you know, just for good common sense, he can enormously affect the debate, and even the meager amount of silence can be even golden with what the average public is not hearing. There's a lot of grits of sand that can go into the machine when there's utter silence about things like global warming and taxation with representation. And as a matter of fact, I, what you were talking about with Peter's equation, so to speak, is I've heard this also expressed is that the Republicans constantly claim that the rich are too poor to pay taxes and the poor are too rich to get anything for their taxes.
So, yeah. Oh, very well said.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting how propaganda can work. It's this tidy little package of innuendo that turns into the big lie. So. Hey, well, thanks again for your time, Joe. And, yeah, give a, you know, constantly stay in touch. We'll be glad to do an interview with Peter throughout the year. Do a couple of them, really. We could do an early one and a late one and, you know, keep some heat up. I guess we're going to need to do one after Labor Day. That's for sure. You're going to want to have a mighty push right at Labor Day, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what are you going to do for the 4th of July? Is he going to do about 19 county fairs?
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, it's interesting.
We'll see. I'm not sure we've been able to settle things down. I mean, we've received so many invitations, and we try to put a schedule together so that we minimize leaping around, and it's not always easy. But all of that, again, will be posted on the website, votecamejo.com, for folks to click on and see where you can meet up and hear Peter.
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, so if you've got an event coming up and you want to invite Peter, go to votecamejo.com, and you'll be able to help get him booked. Hey, thanks again, Joe. So again, we've been talking with Joe Chamberlain, one of the candidates for supervisor down in San Mateo County, and now working as one of the staff with Peter Camejo's race for governor in November 2006. You're listening to Indie Bay Radio in San Francisco.